Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Hope you're doing great on this hot and steamy day. We are making it happen here in New York City. Stand by for the declaration of the International Black Summit. We'll be doing that shortly.
Hey, Quinn.
Yeah, we're on.
I tried to get on, but they said there was nothing scheduled.
Yeah, so we're on now.
Okay.
The International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Let's get it going here and bring up the website for the International Black Summit so I could read you the declaration. Don't forget, the 27th annual event is going to be in Guyana, South America, August 3rd through the 6th, so you don't want to miss that. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. New York and Chicago, Chi-Town, June 13th, 2017. Above, below, within, and around. North, south, east, a moment of silence, please. Thank you. That was a quick moment, too. Huh? But anyway, I wanted to get to the call and let you folks chime in. We've got my vivacious host, Henrietta Bird from Chi-Town, and I hear it's hotter in Chi-Town than it is here in New York. And we're scorching in New York.
Okay, and we're loving it.
This is actually Guyanese weather.
Okay, getting us ready.
Getting us ready for the
2017 annual summit event in Georgetown, Guyana.
We have Miss Maya on the phone too. You're my
good Maya. Maya, hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. So as we prepare for the annual summit event. You know, we're in Georgetown, Guyana, South America, August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And August 3rd is a Thursday. And so that's for people who have never done the summit before, 9 a.m. in the morning. You should be there Wednesday so that you can enjoy the country a day or so before you get started, and then Thursday morning you'll be in the prerequisite, right, early 9 a.m. And later on that night, if it's Thursday night, everybody comes in for the opening ceremony. And it'll be done Guyanese style. So we'll keep you updated as to what that means as we get closer and closer. But that's the night that we engage in the community, and we do all kinds of things. We have conversations, we have discussions, and we listen for the community, get to hear from the community. So we'll have a few guests that night from Guyana, and we'll have lots of fun and food and dancing and all of that. And that's on Thursday night. And Friday morning, bright and early, annual summit event begins. And so that's all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. So join us this year as we move from, as we embrace all aspects, including race and fear. We're looking at what is available for the transformation. And therefore, we're taking into guidance and another inquiry will be generated in Guyana, and we'll come out as we do every year with a new inquiry. So, August 3rd through 2017, Georgetown, Guyana. For those of you who are interested in finding out more about the summit, go to our webpage, Black Summit, www.blacksummit.org, and register for the summit. And if you want to know more about it, let us know that you want a summit fair. A summit fair is an informational session where you get to ask all the questions you like about what the summit is, what the conversation is about, whatever it is that you want to know. But send us an email and let us know that you're interested in a summit fair in your area. If you're interested in a prerequisite, you don't have to wait until August 3rd. You can actually gather 9 other people and yourself, and we will come to you and have a prerequisite. So, but you can find all of that information out at blacksummit.org. Let me see. Is there anything else I wanted to share? The Leadership Body Weekend is next weekend, not this weekend coming, but the weekend of the 24th. So the 24th and 25th, the Leadership Body gathers in preparation of the annual summit event. So if you've ever participated in any part of the summit, you are a part of that Leadership Body, and you are important to this weekend. June 24th and 25th. The Facilitator Body meets on the 23rd, and this is a virtual meeting, so you don't have to travel anywhere. You can sit in the comfort of your backyard and barbecue while you're in the meeting. You know, the information will be sent to you. Like I said, if you ever participated, we have your email address, and we'll send you the update about the upcoming Leadership Body meeting, June 24th. Back to you, Glenn.
Well, I just have to say I'm excited about the upcoming events. I just came from a community ISTA, which is the breaking of fast as part of Ramadan, from the Bangladesh community here, and actually has some great food, by the way. And I'm just present to community, the possibility of community, and so many of the things that we are up to making happen in the lives of the members of the International Black Summit. We're all over the planet, and literally we have projects that we're working on individually. And it's great to have an opportunity to come together and share what we're up to and to find out what are the gems and nuggets that each one is cultivating. So it's always a treat to get together at any event for the International Black Summit, but especially the annual event, because you see people that you haven't seen maybe in a year or two even, because not everybody comes to every annual event. I think Orin is the only one that's been to all the events. I have been to all but three, and we're up to the 27th. So I don't know if I'm the second best, if anybody can top that, but I know that this is an event that I would not miss. And life has interrupted a few times, but this is something that that is can't be described for the fellowship and the camaraderie and the relationships and the opportunities to partner and share your vision with like-minded folks. It's a real opportunity to be with people of Black African descent that are up to changing the planet, it's a positive, interactive conversation that we engage in, and so that's all of the backdrop for what the actual summit is, and so one of the things I want to get to is the question for the year 2016-2017. The question is, as I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe? So I know for myself, that conversation is one of those that is, what's the right word? It's a conversation that has me present to the rage and fear that is in my life. It also allows me to notice it and to not have it run me. But it also has me look at the loss of power when I'm not able to be with myself fully, or not being present fully inside of that rage and fear. And, what I saw about myself early on is how I allowed the rage to dominate me and to really take me out of who I am and what my commitments are. And fear, that one still runs me, so I'm not gonna say that I've been able to overcome that one. I still have fear, but I'm present to it, and I notice there are times when I can work through it, and there are times when I am equally paralyzed. So, still an opportunity for me to growth and development, and I'll look for, what that looks like. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. It was interesting that you brought that up because we've been in a conversation lately about different things, and really, I should try to get her on this call now that I think about it. But we have a really great conversation coming up next week. And it's a conversation that came out of some low-key rage. Low-key rage, right? And it's interesting when I start to notice rage and fear. Fear is something I've noticed. I've always noticed, right? But that's all I did was notice it, not really do a lot about it. But rage is something that I never paid attention to because I never associated myself with that, with rage, right? And fear and anger, undistinguished as such, undistinguished, I guess is the term I would use, or just looked over, stepped over, turns into rage. You know, so if we've been angry, or let me keep it to myself, if I've been angry about something a very long time, and a very long time can be 2 hours in some cases, or it could be 2 weeks, or it could be 2 years, it turns into rage. If I don't do anything about it, you know, if I don't discuss it, if I don't work through it, it can turn into rage. And as we talk about all the time, there are a lot of people in mental institutions. There are a lot of people in prison because they didn't notice that they were angry. They got so used to being angry that when that anger went to rage and they did something in that moment, it literally transformed them into a different lifestyle where they were locked up for it. You know, it's like we say trigger. We say prisons are filled with people who were triggered about something, you know. So in the International Black Summer Conversation, we like to communicate about the things that come up so that we get facility and we can utilize and be empowered by what we're going through rather than disempowered. So looking at rage and fear, Maya, since you're here with us tonight, let me ask, since last August when we were in Ferguson, would you share some of the things that you noticed about yourself as it pertains to rage and fear?
You're correcting that conversation at me or Maya?
Maya. She might have stepped away for a moment. Okay.
Maya.
She must have stepped away for a moment. Is someone else? Did you say someone else was on the line, Glenn?
I'm sorry, this is Maya. Can you see that?
Hello.
The question was, what did you notice about the summit question since Ferguson?
Yeah. Let me say it a different way. What have you, Maya? What have you noticed about yourself as it pertains to rage and fear? Since we've been in this question since August, and I did ask if you don't mind. I know she's talking, but I can't hear her.
No, we cannot hear you. No. Are you speaking?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Did you hear me? Did that do me?
No.
Maybe if she call back in. There might be a better connection.
Call back in if you can hear us. So what was that question for yourself, Henrietta?
That was what I've noticed about rage and what I've noticed about fear. Just looking at it since August, I noticed that I had no connection to rage at all. You know, that was something that I never even considered having. Fear, yes. Fear I've dealt with, you know. Like, I've noticed that I can identify fear right away in myself because I've learned to utilize that as a sign for me to move forward. Like, if I'm afraid of something or if I feel anxious about doing something, I kind of take that as a green light. That means do it. Do it no matter what. Just do it because there's something good there for me. Whereas before, I used to just, if I was afraid to do something, I would not do it. You know, I wouldn't even think about it. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that. But now it's like a green light. I utilize it like a green light. It's my gut. Now, that's different than a gut feeling. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when I think about doing something and I try to back myself up, or I'll create these reasons why I shouldn't do it. And then I'll listen to the reasons knowing that they don't make sense. You know, I know that's fear. And so now I'm just like, okay, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it right away. So make the call, call the person, whatever it is, like do that, you know, and that way you get it off. You move past it, and I've noticed that I do that. Like now, I'm more focused on doing that thing that I'm afraid to do. And it's really wonderful to do that because it just gives me room for other things to show up. The rage is a little different. You know, I don't notice rage. I don't notice rage. And I think that's because I've been working on forgiveness and anger and stuff so much in my workshop. So I don't notice it, but I do remember one time since we left Ferguson that I did notice that it's not right in the forefront of my mind, but I did, but I do remember being angry. Yes, I just being angry at a situation, a person, and a situation, and yeah, rage was like right there, and I was just, all I could say is that I'm just so thankful we're in two different states, you know, because that's what I felt. But I had to keep dealing with it. Working, when I say dealing with it, I mean working through it, like asking myself, what is it that you're upset about? You know, what is it that you feel the other person has done? And just naming that thing that I felt it was and working through that, you know, like continuously working through it, clearing myself around it, having conversations that move me out of that place where I was stuck into a more powerful space so that I could again be with that individual in that situation. So that's kind of, Glenn, what how I would respond to your question. Glenn, was Maya able to call back in?
Yeah, I'm
here. Oh, okay, I can hear you now.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah. So the question, Maya, is what have you noticed about yourself since Ferguson in regards to embracing all aspects of yourself, including rage and fear? If you don't mind sharing, you know, some of the things that you noticed.
Can you hear us? Maya, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. No, we're not hearing you.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's keep going, Glenn. Have you noticed, like, anything specific when it comes to rage?
So, I don't know. One of the things.
I can't hear you either, Glenn.
So.
Now.
You know, one of the lessons for me, I guess, is just to notice. You know, one of the things, and I've shared this on the phone before, but one of the senior facilitators I can't even think of his name, Perry. Was working with this gentleman who was working in the prisons. And the interesting thing about him was that he asked the question to a bunch of prisoners, and they were all in for felonies, but none of them were premeditated. So these were all in the moment. Acts of rage, and a number of people was maybe 15 or 20, maybe 25. And he asked them a question, a very simple question: how much time it took between them getting enraged and then committing whatever crime that they had committed. And, well, let me back it up. The first question was, how long were they in there for the various crimes they committed? And it was something in the tune of, in the tens? I think it was like 25, 35 years, 40 years, something like that. It was some unconscious number of years that they were in for. Actually, it sounded more like 70 or 80, if I remember correctly. And then he asked the question, from the time you got upset to the time that you committed the crime, how much was that? And when they went around, all 25 of them, they went around and the total collective time was 5 or 6 minutes. So 5 or 6 minutes produced 70 or 80 years of incarceration, something ridiculous like that. I might have understood it might have been more, but it was unconscionable to think that for that little amount of time, so many people, 25, were incarcerated for murders and attempted murders and so forth, assaults, and that they would be doing that much amount of time for those few seconds, for most of them, of rage. And so, you know, I got present to the moments when I was enraged and that I wasn't myself. And what that, and of course, that it didn't cost me time in jail, but I easily could have been any one of those other individuals inside of a fit of rage, causing a crime and unfortunately being incarcerated. So it just, you know, so the lesson was very clear, full about rage. And what I noticed is that mostly what I would do is suppress it, because I never wanted to get to let it out again. And I think it's a, I still think it's a useful thing to use and have. But not to be used by it, actually. So that's good. So yeah, that's what I have to say about that. Back to you, Henrietta.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Yeah, and I heard you say not to be used by it. You know,
sitting over here in the cool.
Yeah, not to be used by it. And I think of the things that rage has us do. You know, I think there's a silent kind of rage that has, that at one time had me eating, unnecessarily eating, just, you know, just eating certain things that made me feel a particular way. And I really believe that that was a rage that had me do that. You know, because when I think about it, when I was like just listening to you, I know that I've very seldom been angry at somebody else, like really, really angry at somebody else, but I've been very, very angry with myself when it comes to decisions that I made or decisions that I made that I maybe thought I should not have made as a young adult or a teenager even or whatever. And I would not, like I said, I wouldn't get upset with anybody else, but I would be very upset with myself. And I, looking at it now, I believe that was a low-key rage, as I would say, because it was just like within me. It was just within me. And I wouldn't take it out on anybody else. I wouldn't share it with anybody else. I would just let it eat me up, literally, you know. And so I know what you're talking about, you know, that it could have been, you could have been any one of those people. But I'm so glad that we are engaged in this conversation, because now it gives us facility in a powerful way to look at ourselves and realize it's something that happened. It's something that can be let go. It's something that we can change our perspective about, you know. And then we have the declaration that grounds us if we go there, you know. And like I said, next week we have this great conversation coming up where we're going to begin to distinguish the declaration of the International Black Summit in 2017. This is something that was written in 1991, and we're going to distinguish it like now. What does it mean for us now? How do we hold it now? I'm really, really excited and looking forward to that conversation. And one of our facilitators, Andrea Chapman, is bringing that conversation to us next week. And so we're going to begin to look at that, look at this declaration that you heard Glenn generated at the beginning. You hear one of us generated at the beginning of every show. But we want to hear from you. We want to know what you think about the declaration. You'll find that on our website as well at www.blacksummit.org. Take a look at the declaration and start to distinguish it for yourself. And join this conversation next week as we step into the declaration of the International Black Summit. Back to you, Glenn.
Yeah. Maya, were you able to get in?
Yeah, I'm in. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So,
and thank you for continuing to try.
To get on. I know. Because I also can see that I also.
Maya?
Oh, can you hear me?
You just came on, just when I called your name.
Okay. I don't know what just.
It might be your cord or something.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you guys hear the part of I noticed,
nope.
Like, when I left
no.
it? Hello?
We did
no,
not.
We didn't hear
we
any,
did not.
We didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear anything? What is going on?
No.
This is gone. I can have here. I don't know. Since I left the International Black Summit, can you guys hear me? You hear that?
Yeah.
All right. I noticed my anger went away. My anger.
Mm.
I really got in touch with what I was committed to. So I'm listening.
We can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
You went out again.
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to give up right now. I just don't know what's happening. I'm on another phone and it keeps going out.
Just keep talking because we can hear you now.
Okay. So I also noticed that it's like something is trying. My rage is connected to my anger.
Okay.
You guys, yeah.
Right, you said
so
the anger went away, and you noticed that the rage was connected to the anger.
Yeah, and how I can. In there with fear. You know,
you're still going in and out. We can't hear you now.
See, all right. Okay,
Nope, we can't hear you now.
With this, I'm so annoyed.
I know, me too. But let's not be annoyed.
I just don't.
There's something.
It's okay. Maybe I should be listening.
So what I heard you say, Maya, was that your rage, when the anger went away, you noticed that the rage went away, the rage was connected to the anger?
Yeah, that went away too, but, you know, here's the thing. Here's what I begin to see. Like, when I was able to get rid of mine, I can get to my commitment, and I really saw that my real upset and anger was that I had a conversation that it shouldn't be this way.
Mm.
It shouldn't be. And I looked at that conversation that was driving all that anger and fear. It shouldn't be this way.
And so
but it is what it is,
conversation?
You know?
Right.
Yeah,
did
I noticed what the
conversation
is.
Okay.
Underneath.
Mhm. Okay. So I heard you say it is what it is. So you stopped the conversation about it shouldn't be this way, and just
it shouldn't be this
that
way.
Yeah.
Because it keeps me in the loop of fear. It keeps me in that loop of fear and rage.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Why you have to?
Right, because you were, like, in saying that it shouldn't be, it's like making yourself wrong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not able to be. Yeah. Which is in our decoration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's kind of what I was talking about when I said I would get so upset with myself about the decisions that I'd made, you know, rather than look at those decisions as, yeah, you made that decision and you learned from it, you know, or you grew through it. So it kind of, you know, like I was in that shouldn't be that way conversation also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, so this conversation is really one that uses us as human beings. It certainly has an effect on people of Black African descent, but I think it's a human conversation. It's not restricted to us, and it's not only our conversation for sure. But you know, it's one that has gotten churned up with this new administration, with the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm present to the rage and the upset and the fear, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, what's going to happen? What do I need to worry about? Do I need to protect something, protect myself, my family, my whatever? You know, all of that. So it's actually perfect that we're engaged in this conversation the way that we are, because it certainly is a different kind of conversation. So I'm grateful. I'm always grateful for what this conversation provides in terms of expansion, growth, conversation, possibility, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, this work is just some powerful work, some powerful community work.
How you
doing? What, Maya, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, so, like, the question that we're in is, as I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, it's the second part. What is available for you now in the transformation of the universe? What's available that wasn't maybe available before you got in touch
you
with
know, that? So as I embrace our aspects of myself, including rage and fear, is that what's there for me is the freedom. You know, really freedom to be. Freedom to be and act in a way that's fully expressed. And I'm not imprisoned by my fear or my rage. Or I'm not, you know, I'm present to rage, you know. Because I got really annoyed a couple of weeks ago. And I was surprised at how annoyed I, because I get surprised when I get openly outraged or pissed off. I'm like, because I got it that I'm cool. So,
you got it that what?
That I'm cool.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm cool. I'm you know, like nothing, you can't mess with me, you can't shake me, I'm just cool. And I, you know, when I get in that way, I go, wait a minute, what is this going to cost me? Let me shake it. Let me shake this. Because I'm unwilling. You know, I'm still an IL. And it's being an introduction leader for Landmark is a way of being and living. You got to live it. So it's like I had to get off it quick in a second because it costs too much. Rage and fear costs. There's a cost for it. And I'm unwilling to pay, you know, to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unwilling. Because it really keeps you small, it keeps you stunned, and it keeps you in a dangerous conversation. So but I couldn't really get to it until I got to the summit. Because for me, it was at the level of community and culture, you know, my rage. So
yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah, I'm glad I did come to the summit. It was really, it really gave me something. And my son, I mean, Glenn, he's like, he's serious with coming to Guyana. He may not can leave until the night of August 4th or 5th because the show is over that night. And he says, I'm coming, you know, and he's coming.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Really excited.
Yeah, definitely.
Mhm. So, anything else for you, Glenn? Because I got to go take a
shower. No, well, thank you so much, Maya. Thank you.
Listen, sharing. Thank you for you guys for inviting me and having me on this call.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
One of the things that I noticed, like as a, what is available, for the transformation of the universe is that I get to be, when I embrace the rage and the fear and the not good enough and whatever, it gives me the space to reverse all of that, you know, to be bold, to be, to step into things, you know, to be more than enough, you know, and that conversation I was telling you that was going on that would have me, like, beat myself up, like, that voice now has turned into, like, a cheerleader. Like, you can do it, Henrietta. You can do this. Yeah, you did that. Yeah, that was good. Now, do this. You know, so it's like this thing that once would hold me back, it's now the thing that's pushing me forward. You know, so I'm loving what has occurred. You know, like, whereas I would do things a lot of times I didn't want to do, now I just say, no, I don't want to do that. You know, nope, I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend my time doing that. I don't want to invest my money doing that. Nope. Whereas that was not something that was easy for me to say no. And so I'm...
I'm personal to choice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's available for the transformation of the universe. My universe is to be a choice and be okay with the choices that I make. Be feel good about the choices that I make.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are the kind of conversations that are going to take us into Guyana in August. And, you know, come when you can come. There's Independence Day celebration, I think, on July 31st. So a lot of people are going to come in for that celebration. And you can come whenever. The hotel rooms will be at that special rate 3 days before the summit and 3 days after the summit if you choose to stay later. So again, go to blacksummit.org and get the information that you need and register yourself. Remember, there we have group rates this year, so family rates, and you choose your family. You know, you have a group of four people that you want to bring, you all get a group rate. So go to blacksummit.org and check out all of the different ways to register and pay. You just use your debit card, your credit card, your PayPal card, and you can register right online. If you want to send a check, there's a post office box. Where you can send your check. But you need to send your checks right away because after a certain period, they won't, you know, you won't be able to take them. So, but make sure you have your passport. There are certain shots that are recommended that you take, yellow fever and malaria. Are recommended, you know, for those of you who might want to go out and take different kinds of trips and things, you know, out in the other parts of Guyana. You might want to look into those shops and things that they recommend. But you definitely need a passport to get there. So you have time to apply for your passport, renew your passport or whatever. We're almost, I think we're just under 8 weeks. So, you know, get everything in order. Glenn, anything?
We have our special guest, Mr. Rod Pass. Your mic is open. Mr. Rod Pass?
No, that's not Rod. That's me, Petal.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, 44932. Sorry. Yes.
I am
hey,
special, Petal.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Without
no,
a
I don't
doubt,
even know
my
how
guess.
I got unmuted.
I just saw the 404 and got and figured it was Rod. Go ahead. I'm sorry, my dear. Welcome to the call.
Hey, thank
Hi,
you. Hi. You know, I didn't even know how I got unmuted. So, did I request it? Or you unmuted me?
No, I unmute folks and give them an opportunity to.
Okay. Yeah, I got on probably about. I got on when Maya was talking about her shouldn't. So that's actually that was pretty good just to come in at that, you know, because I have a whole bunch of those. What I shouldn't be doing, what I should be doing, how it should be, how it shouldn't be. And so it was really good to hear that because, you know, it's not just me making me wrong. It's me making the situation wrong or the circumstances wrong. And, you know, the truth is, it just is what it is. And, you know, all the stuff that I add to it, you know, keeps me stuck. You know, so that was really great to just get that insight. So, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Life is what it is, and it keeps occurring. And we get an opportunity to create. And sometimes we don't like what we create. And then we get to do it over.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes we just really create from, like, rote, like repetition, and not even realizing that's what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, not creating newly. And so we keep doing that until we say, okay, let me do something else. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, just really good, you know, listening. What was that? Someone talking in the background?
Yeah. Somebody's yelling at the TV or something.
Okay. Yeah, so, I'm happy I came on.
Good. I'm glad to have you. It's always a good opportunity to be in touch and share and touch base. We're about to wrap it up, actually.
Okay.
But I think it's been a very enjoyable call. And anything else that you'd like to share or say, Petal, since you're the last one to share? Any
no.
Insights?
Say it again.
Any insights, anything else that you'd like to share before we complete the show for tonight?
No, I really don't. You know, what I came in on was, it was just perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Ms. Bird?
I'm good. I'm good. Looking forward where we're going to begin to take a look at the declaration, you know, distinguish parts of it. Yeah, so that's a good thing. So everybody look for an email from Andrea. It'll probably go out in the next day or so.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So with
thank
that,
you.
Peace and love. Thank you for joining us. For all the listeners that are out there, listen to the tape. Thank you for listening. Remember that we're going to Guyana this August, and we've got tons of information about that at the website, www.blacksummit.org. So please go check it out, register, get yourself there, be there, or be square, as they say. A great opportunity for community cultivation. Good night, and God bless.
Good night.
Good night.